Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Anne Swanson. She is the author of Science of Yoga. It has been translated into 15 languages, and her new book, Meditation for the Real World, will be talking about a lot of things, about the fascinating science behind meditation. Welcome to the show, Anne.
Ah, so glad to be here, Ajay.
You are welcome to the show, and you are welcome to India in this online form. And I'm sure not just in India, but a lot of people across the globe will benefit from what we are going to discuss about. As I said, as told before, we'll be talking about the fascinating science behind meditation. So, and to understand from you, you know about this particular thing called meditation very well. But first, to understand for people, you know, how has meditation helped in your life? I want to understand that for the audience so that they know that you have done it for yourself.
Yeah, I was not a natural in meditating. It was something that when I would go to yoga classes, when we'd get to the part of meditating, I would just be looking at my watch, ready to go. I have things to do. And I had a lot of anxiety. As I started to do yoga more and more, I got tastes of meditation and started to feel the profound effects on my anxiety, my chronic pain, my sleep. I mean, my anxiety was so bad, I would pass out at the most inopportune times. And my sleep was so bad that I had sleep disorders. I'd wake up on rooftops screaming, like I would sleepwalk. So the anxiety was to a peak. And meditation has really helped me be more grounded, be more present, and able to live to my fullest potential.
Right. Right. And so how would you explain yoga to a common person? In India, we have our own way of doing yoga and meditation, but I want to understand more about the outside world. How do you help people understand about meditation, about yoga? Many people might find it, you know, a bit different than the way they look at things. So how do you do that? Especially meditation in today's time, people can't concentrate. The attention span is 8 seconds, 12 seconds. How do people get into meditation? Help us a bit about that part. It's a tough job to do, or is it very easy?
Yeah. Well, it's very simple, but it's not very easy. It takes work. It takes practice. I shouldn't say work. It just takes practice. But I originally learned meditation and yoga in India with my teacher, Yogi Shivadas in Dharamsala. So my education was from the traditional perspective, and he taught a lot about anatomy and physiology and science. And when I left there, I was like, I need to go deeper into this. So I ended up doing pre-med course load and working in a cadaver lab and studying anatomy, physiology. I remember the first time I held a human brain in my hands, I was in awe. And so I've been really diving in since I left India to the research to support these practices. And for my new book, Meditation for the Real World, I worked with a Harvard researcher, Dr. Sarah Lazar, and she dives into the brains of meditators, beginner meditators, and monks and advanced yogis, and sees what changes in them. So I like to tell people the benefits based off science, since we have such an enormous amount of research that's really mounting at this point on the neuroscience and just the science of meditation for your whole body. And that helps people get a little motivated to practice. When you see that there's real benefits, it's not just something that's a legend. We can see that there are measurable benefits, changes on a cellular level, changes to cardiovascular system, to your brain, to every system of your body. Then people are motivated to practice. So once you get the motivation to practice, you know it's good for you and you want to do it. You have to recognize that meditation is not stopping your thoughts. That's what people think. And they think I'm bad at it because my mind wanders too much. So I can't meditate, and they give up. But really, the process of meditation is noticing that your mind is wandering and becoming an observer of it, rather than having that active conversation in your head, although you still may do that, being able to step back and observe your thoughts. And something very special happens when you do that. It shifts. It shifts the way you think and feel. It shifts your neurochemistry when you're able to observe the thoughts. So the first thing is get over the idea that it's stopping your thoughts, because it's not. Even the most advanced meditators and monks and yogis, their minds wander at times.
Right, right. And so for a simple person, how do you explain the science-backed, you know, meditation? How does that work? You have this book also, you have talked about the science-backed visual guide. So I want to understand for the common person, how should they look at finding science into meditation? You have talked about it, but I want you to explain things better, because otherwise a lot of people think, you know, it is something about which I will never know whether it is working, it is not working. So when I meditate, I feel a bit calm, I beat a bit better. But then when you talk about real benefits, when it's about science, people tend to take it much more seriously. So tell us about your book, The Science of Yoga, and also about the new book, Meditation for the Real World, about the science-backed visual guide.
Yeah, I really focus on the science behind these practices. And my first book, Science of Yoga, talks about the poses, and it also does talk about breath work and meditation. But when I finished this book, it's been 5 years since it's been out, it's very visual and it has lots of poses, and people like to think of the asanas from it. And I love that. I love that that gets people into the practice. But where I've seen the biggest benefits is from meditation. So I knew with the second book, I wanted to do a deep dive into the neuroscience of meditation and how meditation helps us and how it can help you step by step, because I include step by step meditations. It's not, this book isn't just the neuroscience of meditation. But one thing I want to point out is how it affects your brain. I think some of the most profound changes occur in your brain. Immediately, we have changes in our brainwave patterns and in our brain network activity. So we used to think it was all about the areas of the brain that are changing. And yes, there are certain areas of your brain, like the prefrontal cortex right in the front of your brain, that tends to get more connectivity with meditation, which is great because that helps us focus and make good decisions. And also other parts of your brain, like your memory centers, your hippocampus improve. We see this with an abundance of research. But now what neuroscientists are really talking about is the brain networks. And this goes back to what I was just saying about mind wandering and that misconception that meditation is stopping your thoughts. So there's certain areas of the brain that all come together and work at the same time in unison. It's not separated. Like your brain is more holistic and that there's patterns that occur. And so what happens is we start by meditating, and the teacher tells us, okay, you need to focus on your breath. Let's say it could be any focal point, a mantra, something you repeat, but your focal point, you're doing it. You're focusing on your breath. You notice your breath for a few moments. And that's when you're in the central executive network, where you are paying attention and you are able to really focus and be present. Now, inevitably, your mind will start to wander, and that puts you into the default mode network. So the default mode network is what we go into when we're doing something, but we're thinking about something else. So whether you're washing the dishes and thinking about your list of things to do, or you're supposed to be meditating and focusing on your breath, but you're thinking of what you're going to eat later for dinner. It's human nature. So you go into the default mode network, which is associated with me thinking and being a very self-centered and obsessive. Often the thoughts are about me. What am I going to eat? What am I going to say, right? And then what happens is another network picks up. So you notice, oh, wait, I'm not thinking about my breath right now, and I'm supposed to. Is this important, right? Is this thought about what I'm going to eat later important? No, it's not. So I'm going to redirect back to focus on my breath and go into that central executive network. So we're switching networks more quickly with meditation. We're able to come back to presence better. With practice, you get much quicker. So through your day, you can be more present through your day, because research is showing that your ability to stay present affects your happiness.
Right, right. And so let's understand it from now point in the point from the point of entrepreneurs, from the point of people who are very busy. You talk about it, you know, it can take care of perfectionism in terms of your imposter syndrome, social anxiety, sleep. How does that work? And a lot of people will say we have a very busy life. So you talk about even 1 minute meditation. Now, is that possible? How would you explain to them, yes, it is possible or it is not possible? You'll need a longer period of time. Help us with that. Especially for business people who feel, you know, every day is a very busy day.
Yeah, I'm big on integrating meditation into your everyday life. And this started because I had such severe anxiety, as I mentioned, I would pass out at the doctor's office when they would do a procedure on me. And it was very inconvenient and stressful. And so I started to focus on my breath, and I was focusing on my body sensations, because that's the typical meditation cues that are often given. And guess what happened? I pass out quicker. Apparently, when you focus on your breath and your body sensations when you're in acute anxiety, you actually get more anxious. So it's not the best technique for that situation. So instead, for that situation, as I dove into the research and experimented, the best type of meditation is grounding. You can do it while you're listening to this. Even if you're walking or sitting, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the points of contact of maybe you're sitting in a chair. Feel the points of contact of your body down. And with each exhale, feel your body settling down. And I would just focus on imagining a settling sensation. And that was much better for that situation. So I realized different situations, you can do different things. And you can meditate while you're in the doctor's office to avoid passing out. So I started to put together these meditations that would help people when they're about to go speak, right? Like right now, I came on this podcast live with you and I do a little meditation beforehand. Or if you are about to take the stage, take a microphone, you're about to do a challenging presentation, or maybe you are about to send an email and it's a stressful email and you need to take a moment and just take a 1 minute meditation to pause and check in. So these are optimal times to fit in these mini meditations or breathing breaks, or I like to say 1 minute meditation, even if it's shorter than a minute, because you can feel the immediate effects. It's going to change how you perform in the following activity. Or if you do it after an activity, it's going to help you to calm down quicker. So do a 1 minute meditation right before you go to bed or right before you eat to calm your body and mind to get into the right headspace to do that activity.
Right, Anne, right. When you talk about the name of your book is very good, you know, Meditation for the Real World. So what does that mean? Means I want to understand it a bit more for people. As you said, meditation, people sometimes think it's out of the world, it's very difficult to do. But I want to understand, what do you want to convey through this title for the people? That is meditation possible in all situations? You also talk about, you know, that take meditation off your to-do list and do this instead. I want to understand that, what is that instead about?
Yes, I called the book Meditation for the Real World because it has realistic practices for anybody to do. You don't have to sit down for 40 minutes to meditate every day to gain the benefits. And you can put them in your everyday life. On the cover, there's somebody sitting on a subway or a train, and she has headphones in and she's meditating while she's on her commute. You can integrate these techniques into little moments of your day where you would typically be scrolling. You'd be scrolling your phone, your Instagram, texting. Instead, take that minute of waiting and meditate. Meditate while you wait. And that's what I mean by crossing it off your list of things to do, where it's just this other thing that you're going to feel like, I have to put it in my morning routine, which it's great if you can, but you can fit it through your day and you can integrate it by having cues, like perhaps right before you drink your first sip of tea or coffee in the morning, you just do a pause, do a 1 minute meditation, and then sip your coffee or tea. Or perhaps when you are taking your daily medications, if you have prescriptions or vitamins, I teach my students a medication meditation where we take the medications and then we sit and pause and feel and imagine the healing benefits of those medicines. Imagine and feel a light in your body expanding just 1 minute, and it's going to help you integrate it into your day.
Right. And now talking of meditation for the real world through real world meditation. Now, I want to understand a lot of you also talk about manifestation, that meditation you can use to manifest something like you did for yourself, a book contract with Random House. Some people will think this is something it's difficult to believe. So how do you make them believe about manifesting something through meditation? Help us a bit so that everyone can get what they want in their life through this benefit of meditation.
You know, I didn't know you're going to go there today, Ajay. So basically, there is a massive amount of research to support goal setting. We do it in our business. We do it in our finances. When you can know what you want, then you'll take the steps toward getting there. When you can visualize it and you can see it and you know that that's the next step, you will start to look for opportunities. So I know the word manifestation can be a little trite or overused. We could just think of it as goal setting. And I set goals in my life that seemed outlandish, and I believe them. And then I will meet people and talk to them about it, and then I'll get more ideas, right? So if you can, through meditation, believe in yourself, develop confidence in yourself, listen to your body and listen to your intuition, you will be guided into what is the next step for you. You will be living out your true purpose, your dharma in life. And that's ultimately what meditation does. So I think the word manifestation has gotten kind of like a bad rap. And really, it's about goal setting and getting in alignment with your dharma and purpose and being open to the opportunities that come, being open to meeting the right people and doing the work to get to your goals.
Absolutely. I understand what you say through that. And I trust it works. Not only just you are saying it, a lot of people in different forms say it. Even they say that when you ask for something, you know, when you want something so desperately, then the universe conspires to make that happen. Then even in general way, people say ask for the thing, think about it, look for it, you know, and pray for it, and it works. And so meditation is one way of looking at it, and it has worked. So did it work for you, a book contract with Random House?
Yeah. So I did not know I wanted to write my first book, Science of Yoga. I had just graduated from a Master's of Science graduate degree in yoga therapy. So I was a new yoga therapist and I was looking for jobs. I teach anatomy and physiology. So I was applying to colleges. I'm a massage therapist. So I was also applying for massage jobs. I was applying to hundreds of jobs and getting rejected, constant rejection letters. And that's when I really turned into my meditation practice, is I set in confidence in myself. And what do I really want? Can I believe in attracting and bringing what I really want into my life? And what I really wanted was a job that allowed me to bring in all of my skills that I just learned from my graduate degree in yoga therapy, all the research studies that I had just read and the practical applications of how yoga can help people with chronic diseases and mental health. I wanted a project. I didn't say I wanted a book. I was just inviting a project where I could express and be creative with all that I just learned. I thought I would teach a college class. I think that's what I was mainly applying for. And I got an email from my publisher, DK, who's part of Penguin Random House. And that's the biggest, one of the biggest, if not the biggest publisher in the world, who just gets an email from them offering a book contract. They had read an article I wrote online and they saw I had a master's degree in yoga therapy and they were offering me a book contract. And I truly believe that me believing and getting in that right alignment allowed me to open up the door for that. Taking that time to listen to my intuition, to slow down, to be grateful for what I had, even when I was dealing with the stresses of constant job rejections.
Right, right. There is much to learn about these things, and I'm sure a lot of people can learn. What would you like to tell to the young generation, especially those who find difficult with concentrating thing on things, you know, with the social media and so many pressures of life? How would you like to, what would you like to tell them so that they can get more out of meditation for themselves, especially very young people?
Yeah, that's why I made a whole section of the book that's meditation to deal with tech, to deal with doom scrolling or zombie scrolling when you're just scrolling, you know, like, how did I get here? To deal with text message regret. If you've ever sent a message and you're like, why did I send that? And I think that for each of these sort of situations, when you feel socially awkward, when you have these challenges in your life, you can check in and do a mini meditation and integrate a pause, listen to your intuition, notice your breath, slow down for a moment. Because I believe that when we meditate, we are getting in touch with a deep wisdom that's within all of us. And that wisdom is in you no matter what age you are. You've met young people who are the wisest people you've ever met before, children. So that wisdom is within us. So take a moment to pause and get in touch with that. Do a 1 minute meditation when you find yourself doom scrolling, when you find yourself overwhelmed.
Right. You also talk about that meditation can help one learn better. How can it, you know, help students and all other people also?
So meditation helps you learn how to learn better. It's very meta. It actually builds what we call meta skills. And for example, you build your skill of metacognition, which is your ability to think about thinking. And it sounds strange, but when you're able to step back and think about what are my thought patterns like, you learn a lot about yourself and how you interact in the world. And you're able to live to your best self when you're able to check in and notice how you think. You also are building meta awareness, being aware that you're aware, being aware of your thinking. And so we're building these skills that help us be able to learn other things. When you have that ability, you can learn anything more efficiently. In addition, we do see that the particular brain networks and brain areas that are strengthened through meditation are helpful for focus, for concentration, for improving relationships with people, which is really important in the business world, in the corporate world, having good relationships. So it helps with a lot of real life skills.
Right, right. That is, as I said, it is a wonderful thing. You have explained all the things in such a great thing. And I'm sure a lot of people will still have their own questions and want to learn directly from you. For those people, so who would want to learn more about you, more from you, more about your books, what is the best way for them to connect with you, Anne?
Well, I recommend you go to meditationfortherealworld.com because I have audio meditations that go with this book and music that has been engineered to optimize your brain waves for meditation practice. So you get that for free when you get the book, and just head on over to meditationfortherealworld.com to see links of where you can get it and how you can get those special exclusive bonuses.
Wonderful. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KAJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Yeah,